Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Easter is the holiest day and season in the Christian calendar when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's when we're reminded that light overcomes darkness, good triumphs over evil, life wins over death, and God's realm is superior to that of man's. This is a day that comforts us that joy and peace is found in God. It's a time to be renewed and re-energized as we focus on the light of Christ and the total, unconditional love and acceptance that God has for each of us. And Easter is a foreshadowing of eternal life. Some of you know that we have a Wednesday morning book study at 10 o'clock, and you're invited to come to that if you can make it. It's in the chapel. And right now we're reading this book here by Marcus Borg. It's called The Heart of Christianity. And the subtitle of this book is Rediscovering a Life of Faith. It's an easy read, and I commend it to you, and we do a chapter a week. And the author discusses the kingdom of God and what Celtic Christianity has named thin places. Thin places. Those places where heaven and earth come together in the beautiful, mystical experiences that we encounter now and then, even in the daily rhythm of our lives. In one of the chapters entitled Born Again, A New Heart, Marcus Borg suggests that being born again is not about a rigid kind of righteousness or self-righteousness or judgmentalism that sometimes other denominations of Christianity have co-opted. Nor does it focus on an in-group and an out-group, meaning that if you're not born again, you're not saved. Rather, Borg suggests that a personal transformation or an internal spiritual rebirth of awareness of a new heart is what we have when we encounter Christ in our lives. We also see this symbolized in the ritual and sacrament of baptism, which we'll have this morning as we baptize Matthew Connor Wallace. As you may remember, the notion with Jesus' baptism going down into the water and coming up a new person in that immersion, or in our case, the sprinkling. Now, Marcus Borg names this internal process the dying to self, or the death of the self. Of course, we need to be careful about that concept of death of the self. Jesus does not want us to hinder our own self-esteem or a healthy view of the self, or that we're to abide by abuse or allow others to use us as a doormat. That's not what dying to self means. He means instead that we have a choice to make. We give up an old way and take on a new way of being. And that new way of being is making the choice to surrender to God. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, let go and let God. When we do this, my friends, we find a shift in ourselves, moving from a way of life centered in the self to a life centered only in God, in the Spirit, and in Jesus Christ Himself. And Easter helps us to do that, reminding us that it's a true joy to be centered in God. It's alleluias for breakfast, lunch, and dinner from here on out until we take our very last breath. And the ritual of the church year of Holy Week itself aids us in doing that. We see what our lives are like when during Lent we examine our our old self or our current self, perhaps. Perhaps a self-centered way of being with focus on pride and ego. Christ then offers us an alternative. First, through the washing of the feet on Monday, Thursday, an extremely humble act of washing and bathing that part of us that is the lowest of the low in Middle Eastern culture, our feet. And Jesus does that because he points us through this humble act and calls us to serve others always, to serve the Christ in each other always. Thomas Merton, the great Christian mystic, once said that we don't have to imitate Christ, but only animate him, because he is already in us. We don't have to imitate, but only animate, because that light is in each one of us as precious children of God. Christ also offers us a chance, a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, dozens of chances to be reassured that when we mess up, we are still loved by God in spite of ourselves. Christ offers us the chance to be in relationship with him even when we sometimes act like Judas Iscariot or like the disciples who slept in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus asked them to pray. And instead, we're spiritually slothful. And sometimes we sleep in the garden when we are negligent in our prayer or do not do the things that would please God. When we awake from this sleep, Borg names this as coming forth from our tombs, wherein we find a feeling of lightness and being, of rising out of our self-preoccupation. And how appropriate with the gospel today, in that Christ was not in his tomb when Mary went, but had sprung forth into his new being. He came forth from his tomb. And Easter reminds us that we too can come forth from our tomb into a lightness and joy in Christ. Now, similar to this idea is what the 16th century architect of the Reformation, Martin Luther, once wrote. He named, quote, a daily dying and rising with Christ. A daily dying and rising with Christ. The last 3 days has been a microcosm of life, dying to self on Good Friday, rising with Christ on Easter. And when we live in this intentional way, we come forth from our tombs into a life focused on the resurrection of our Lord. A metaphor that helps us imagine this in a new way is to think about a large glass of water. The glass is our lives. And the water in the glass represents the preoccupation of self, or ego, sin, pride. And then a large bar of soap is added to the glass Easter morning. The bar of soap is Christ. Immediately, water spills over the rim of the glass, and what is replaced in that space, once full of water, is the soap, or Christ. The water is displaced because of the solid nature of the soap, the same solid and unchanging nature of Christ. Now, there's going to still be some water in the glass around the soap. That's our sin, our ego, pride, our envy of others, love of money, desire for power, etc. So we'll always have some water in our glass. There will always be water or sin because no human being is perfect. But over time, the soap in the center of the glass has an effect on the water. The water takes on a new substance. The soap changes the nature of the water. The clear water begins to turn soapy. Christ changes the makeup of our ego and our sins and changes our weaknesses, the water, into that which is more and more Christ-like and Christ-centered. Our water, or our self-centeredness, is lessened by the soap, and we are preoccupied more and more with God. Christ changes our internal makeup, just as the soap changes the clear water into a soapy substance. And eventually, toward the end of our lives, in the twilight of our lives, the bar of soap will absorb almost all of the water, or the water will evaporate mostly, so that what is left is nothing but soap, nothing else but Christ himself. Another short story in this book of the Heart of Christianity, Marcus Borg talks about a little story that he thinks he got, or he heard it first from Parker Palmer, a great author, and maybe you've heard this story too. And he writes, "Several years ago, I was told a story about a 3-year-old girl. She was the firstborn and only child in her family, and now her mother was pregnant again. And the little girl was very excited about having a new brother or sister. Within a few hours of the parents coming home from the hospital and bringing a baby boy home, the girl made a request. She wanted to be alone with her new baby brother in his room with the door closed. Her insistence about being alone with the baby with the door closed made her parents a bit uneasy, as you can imagine. But then they remembered that they had installed an intercom system in anticipation of the baby's arrival, so they realized they could let their daughter do this. And if they heard the slightest indication that anything strange was happening, they could be in the baby's room in an instant. So they let the little girl go into the baby's room, shut the door, and raced to the intercom listening station. They heard their daughter's footsteps moving across the room, imagined her standing over the baby's crib. And then they heard her say to her 3-day-old brother, "Tell me about God. I've almost forgotten. Tell me about God. I've almost forgotten." The story is both haunting and evocative, for it suggests that we come from God, and that when we're very young, we still remember this and still know this. But the process of growing up, of learning about this world, is a process of increasingly forgetting the one from whom we came and in whom we live. The birth and intensification of self-consciousness, self-awareness, involves a separation from God. And yet, we can reclaim this connection with God. You may know that the word religion comes from the Latin word religio or religio, which means to relink. And God wants us to relink ourselves with him or her. And God always treats us with joy when we attempt to relink or return to him. We find ourselves in our life in the parable of the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. And that parable reminds us that, like the Father, God will always run out to greet us with open, loving arms and will kill the fatted calf for a great high feast and a celebration of our return. Today is that great high feast, the holiest day in the church year. Easter is a reminder that God celebrates with us, and every day is a banquet in the Lord. My friends, as you may know, one day we will see God face to face. Until that time, let us be open to the soapy substance in the glass, changing us more and more to be like Christ himself. And finally, like the little girl loving her baby brother who said, Tell me about God. I've almost forgotten. Let us soak in what God is like. That love, that unconditional love. And share that with others who have almost forgotten. And may we be encouraged and nurtured to share the love and joy of Christ and to seek those thin places every day where heaven and earth come to meet and where they meet in you and in me and with each other and in the world. Amen.